We bring the newsmakers to you here on the KUMA Coffee Hour, presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
We got a busy show for you this morning, starting with Intermountain ESD Superintendent Mark Mulvihill, and then Julie Koljak, and then Emily Holden will be here from the Milton Free Water Chamber Downtown Alliance. Our conversation will begin after this.
Hi, everybody. This is Anthony Lucia, your Pendleton Extreme Bulls Tour finale announcer. The event that crowns the Extreme Bulls Tour champion will take place during the 114th Pendleton Roundup this September. The PRCA, the Pendleton Roundup, and Happy Canyon are excited to present the Extreme Bulls Tour finale, presented by Coors Banquet and your local Coors distributor, Columbia Distributing, in the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena. The Extreme Bulls Tour finale will be a two-day event with two rounds on the first day and a third long go, and a progressive round on the second day, crowning the event champion. The tour finale is slated September 9th and 10th this season. The winning bull riders from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lewiston, Idaho will get their chance at the title and will feature the top 24 professional bull riders in the world inside the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena. Get your tickets now, as they won't last long, for this epic championship event that will crown the Extreme Bulls Tour champion. Buy tickets now at PendletonRoundup.com for the PRCA Extreme Bulls Tour finale. On with the show, and let her buck.
A Pendleton original, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA. Presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. My first guest this morning is Intermountain ESD Superintendent Mark Mulvihill. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Dan. Great to be here.
Well, I appreciate you being here. IMESD is on its summer schedule now. What does that mean?
Well, it means in some ways we're ramping down, in some ways we're ramping up. Summer for many of our departments is very, very busy, because it gives us an opportunity to come into the schools while no one is there and get things tuned up and worked on. In particular, our IT staff. This is the chance to do all the upgrades and the fiber and all the connections and the switches and all the IT talk that I don't completely know, that they're jargon. But it gives a chance to come in and really get things set for the year. You know, the ESD is like a couple months ahead of the schools, and so actually when the schools start, that several departments actually can come down a little bit. Our facilities team is very, very busy. We're doing a warehouse consolidation right now. We have a lot of materials coming in for the science adoption, a lot of computers coming in. So very busy, basically, for our IT and our warehouse, courier, systems and departments. We also have a very, very extensive list of professional development and training opportunities for teachers, administrators, and classified staff, our parapros. So it's really, we really ramp up in those areas. Some of the others, it's kind of down a little bit, and it is an opportunity for people to take some time off. We're trying to flex the schedule. One question you were going to ask was, you know, ESD is going into summer mode. What does that mean? It means that on Fridays, our offices will be closed to the public. We'll still have staff working. We'll still be available, of course, by phone, email, whatnot. But it gives an opportunity for people maybe to work some 410s or adjust some of their summer schedule. And we just do that during the last 2 weeks of June through July and the first 2 weeks of August. Then we're back to our regular five-day week. And we found that, we started this a couple years ago, we found that to be really in alignment to where our districts are. Our districts are out right now. But, of course, administrators and infrastructure staff are still working, and so we're open every day. But the idea that we are giving people flexibility on Fridays for a couple weeks has really done well for staff morale.
And what are you looking for in the 2025 session of the Oregon Legislature?
Well, we're just coming off of our state conference last week, our state administrative conference, and received very, very positive news. Dan, the term CSL stands for current service level. And what that is how the state projects costs going into the future. And so it's more of a revenue, not a revenue forecast, but more of an expenditure forecast. And so they do that every year. And over time, the K-12 lobby has been very concerned with how that is configured. You know, it doesn't always, in our opinion, align to inflationary statistics, ongoing PERS costs, just, you know the drill. All the costs that go up in running a, quote, business, schools certainly feel that as well. So when the state, who is the provider of the money, provider of the budget, forecasts out expenditures, it sets a number that we believe has been not realistic and too low. Then the governor looks at that number, puts out her budget, and then the legislative process begins. Well, we have worked with them to look at some different ways of configuring actual expenses, and pleased to report that we found out last week that the number going in for K-12 is significantly higher. The governor plans over $1 billion increase from the current level. So we are starting the conversation at a much higher number than we normally do, and we're pretty excited about that because, of course, we have a lot of pretty significant costs and staffing issues facing us with inflation, and to hear that the state is responding. And the revenue is there. Oregon has record savings accounts, for no other term, whether it's the Rainy Day Fund or the Education Stability Fund. Coffers are full right now after the revenue that's been coming in since COVID. And so it's very encouraging to see the state willing to start out with a number much higher than we thought that could put us in pretty good shape moving forward into the coming years.
The OSAA has changed its spring sports playoff schedule from what we're told, the quarterfinals for baseball and softball, as well as the track and field finals, will be held the weekend after Memorial Day weekend. Pendleton is already working on changing its graduation date because of that. What does this mean for other schools in the ESD?
Similar. They're going to have to modify and really look at graduation. It's always a hard thing, Dan, because we just compress everything in our schedules. And playoffs can go on. You can't predict them, of course, and so they can go on and on, and then all of a sudden, if you have a really successful group, they may be, or individuals with track, they may be competing into their graduation ceremony, and that's what this is about. And so Pendleton, who really has looked at some very successful softball, baseball teams, and track teams, is trying to be proactive and look at, okay, how many kids were really impacted. You know, it's a hard decision. You know, do you want to change things for a limited number of kids when you're graduating over 200, but yet those kids deserve that opportunity too? It's a hard kind of no-win. It's almost like a school snow closure day type thing. You can't win for losing. But I think what they're attempting to do is to kick back graduation so that they don't feel that pressure. And I'm sure there'll be some other aspects that aren't positive, but I applaud them for really trying to look at what's best for their kids and make a good, solid decision. And I know they're going to get a lot of input from the community to do that and to see where some of the survey results. Graduation dates are very important. You know, when you look at our K-12 system, there are some really demarcation points that are critical in the development of not only the kids, but also the families. I think of the first day of kindergarten. I think of outdoor school. These are all first day of middle school. These are all big transition dates. And certainly graduation is the climax to all of that. And you want to make sure that you've got a venue, a schedule, an event that not only is for the kids, but also the families and community.
As a resident on the lower Mackay Creek, is there anything new to report on that?
Yeah, there really is. We are finishing up the federal basin study. This has been a project that has been a collaboration between Umatilla County, City of Pendleton, and the Lower Mackay Creek Water Control District Board. We've all chipped in for this large federal study, and I was able to see some of the preliminary data. It's very, very interesting. It goes back to when the dam, Mackay Dam, was originally built in 1927, its capacity and its stream capacity. I think we're going to see data that comes out to show where the weak points are in a flood event. It was very, very telling on the actual inflows into the dam on where water comes from. You know, Dan, this is really termed a flash flood area because of the steepness and how fast water can come off in the Blues. It's considered flash flood, and this is what happens. And very hard for the Bureau of Rec to manage the water when it comes in so quickly. You know, that's what happened in 2019 and 2020. And so having this study from experts who really understand not only weather patterns and climate, but also understanding topographical features that can impact water flow, actual steam velocity, this is going to be very helpful for all of us as we try to deal with this very, very difficult Gordian knot situation we have here. You know, the interests don't align necessarily. You're looking at the tribe. It's a cultural desire to bring fish back into MacKay Creek and to have water to do that. The dam was originally built for irrigators on the west end, and now you have residents living near that creek. Those parties don't always align in what their objectives are. So this is very complex, and having data that is going to be this specific is really going to help our efforts in collaborating for the future.
All right. My guest this morning is Intermountain ESD Superintendent Mark Mulvihill. Mark, thanks for joining us this morning. There's more to come right after this.
Your Walla Walla Regional Airport can help you with bucket list travel destinations. Alaska Airlines provides 101 one-stop destinations from Walla Walla. Discover Charleston's Charm or Albuquerque's Balloon Fiesta. You will find these incredible destinations on alaskaair.com. In between your travels, our airport district has lots to offer, including wineries, breweries, distilleries, cafes, and retail. Book your tickets today at alaskaair.com and fly Walla Walla, where parking is always free.
Public Works for the City of Pendleton could complete six projects in this construction season. These projects include storm drainage system upgrades on Northwest 7th and Northwest 12th, as well as water main replacements on portions of South Main Street and Northwest Despay. Street projects will focus on slurry sealing asphalt and the reconstruction of seven blocks of Northwest Despay. Scheduling for these projects will depend on time, budget, and staffing levels. Go to pendletonprojects.com for more information.
The best happy hour is at the beautiful and historic Hamley Saloon. From 3 to 5 p.m., enjoy happy hour with appetizers and drink specials on beer, wine, and cocktails. Appetizers are perfect for sharing and include Nathan's mini corn dogs, Lester fries, sweet potato fries, beef sliders, chicken quesadillas, and more. Stay for dinner and try their delicious homemade soups made fresh every day. Don't miss happy hour from 3 to 5 at Hamley Saloon, corner of Main and Court, Pendleton.
Live and local, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA. Presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon.
Well, my next guests, Julie Koljak and Emily Holden, they are both here from the Milton Freewater Downtown Alliance. I know I'm going to learn something this morning. So ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here.
The Milton Freewater Chamber Downtown Alliance is hosting Friday nights on Main at Freewater Square. Tell us what this event is all about and hours it will be held.
Yeah, we do Friday nights on Main, the fourth Friday, May through August. And then we'll also have a similar September event. And it goes from 6 to 9. In the square, we will have live music the entire time. And then we also have food trucks there. The entire stretch of North Main is actually closed. We'll have vintage cars on the street, a street full of vendors. We have a free kids carnival. This time we are actually premiering our teen zone. So we'll have a special area set up where teens can, you know, kind of congregate and hang out. And so it's really just about creating an event that everybody in the community can come and enjoy.
And these Friday nights on Main events will be held the last Friday of each month through August. Mm-hmm. And however, each one has a bit of a different theme, don't they? Tell us about that.
They do. They do indeed. Like the next one we've got is the Summer Splash. So it's the kickoff to the summer. So we're doing it with a splash with the kids. Water fight provided by the Rural Fire Department. And then the one in July is the
Freewater Fiesta.
and we'll have a Hispanic band playing music there, Buenas Vibras.
Yes.
Buenas Vibras. And other activities is very much the same as what we've got on the other Friday nights on Main.
Ballet.
Folklorica.
Will come and dance for us. And we've got dancing horses coming. And
a salsa contest.
And a salsa contest. That was extremely popular last year. And then in August, it's the...
It's the back to school bash.
Appropriately so.
Yes. So I think we'll have the ice cream eating contest at that one.
Yeah, Walla Walla Cheese Company provides an ice cream eating contest. It's amazing. Last year, the crowd was huge around that area. And it was very exciting. And then in September, we have the not necessarily the fourth Friday of the month. It'll be a special one on the 13th of September. And that's going to be acknowledging the diversity in our community with a nod to the Mexican Independence Day.
And take us behind the scenes of how the Milton Freewater Chamber of Downtown Alliance came up with Friday Nights on Main at Freewater Square.
So we kind of came out of that era of COVID. Pre-COVID, they'd been doing Thursday's Rock, mm-hmm. and they had started to get some traction. So in 2022, we did a couple of Thursday Rock events. And I think that like Friday Nights on Main was truly born at Halloween that year. We had a huge turnout, thousands of people, and it really kind of took us by surprise and opened our eyes as to what was possible. And so the next year, we just had a group of volunteers that sat around and started thinking about how we wanted to make this bigger and better. And we settled on Friday Nights on Main and really committed to making it a bigger event, mm-hmm. like an all-encompassing street event. And it kind of blew our minds, too.
Well, the name Milton Freewater Chamber Downtown Alliance, talk about the mission and what you're striving to do in Milton Freewater.
Well, I mean, the Milton Freewater Chamber Downtown Alliance was formed because we had the chamber and the downtown group that were basically doing the same things, just, you know, chamber had a holistic view and the downtown alliance was primarily Main Street. And so we decided, let's work together. Let's do this together because our goals and our objectives were the same. It was all about the vibrancy, but making Milton Freewater into a stronger community for businesses, for our residents, and also then encouraging more tourism too. That's somewhere we've failed a little bit on that area as bringing people into town. So things are kicking off, and Friday Nights on Main has been a huge part actually of kicking that off because we had so many people that had never been to Milton Freewater before.
Well, we should remind our listeners that the next Friday Night on Main again is this coming Friday. And from looking at pictures of past Friday nights, it looks like it's an event that is not only family friendly, but one you shouldn't miss. And you know what? I'm sure there's somebody out there that says, you know, it's been a while since I've been to Milton Freewater. And I would just encourage, there's plenty of things happening, not just Friday nights, happening in Milton Freewater. And it really isn't just that small Eastern Oregon town off of Highway 11. It's worthy of going and checking it out. And I wanted to ask, what are some of the other events you have going on regularly or coming up in Milton Freewater?
Yeah, so our farmer's market is every Wednesday night, and it's at Orchard Park, just when you drop into Milton Freewater, like if you were coming from Pendleton. So that happens every week through September. We will have our firefighters breakfast on the 4th of July, and that is Yantis Park?
Yantis Park.
And they also have a fun run starting in Yantis Park that day. And then at the beginning of August, we have our Weekend of the Blues weekend. So that will include rodeo Saturday and Sunday. Again, that's the first weekend in August. The park will have live music and vendors and all kinds of fun things happening on Friday and Saturday. And then we'll be having a citywide yard sale during that time, too. So that will be a huge weekend. And then still left this year, obviously, we have Halloween. Bring the kids down to North Main on Halloween night. We have businesses doing trick-or-treat. We also have Don Jackson always shows up with his excavation truck. He brings a giant dump truck. He constructs a candy chute. They put a another
truck on the top and they shoot the candy down to a bucket at the bottom.
The kids love it. So we have a great time on Halloween too.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break, come back, continue the conversation, talking with Julie Koljak and Emily Holden with the Milton Freewater Chamber at Downtown Alliance, and we will be right back.
Miss a KUMA coffee hour? Download the podcast. Go to elkhornmediagroup.com. Live and local, it's the KUMA coffee hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
At McKay Creek Estates, they know that the best food comes from the heart. Their dining program, A Taste of Prestige, is crafted by their talented culinary teams and tailored to the nutritional needs of older adults. They use fresh ingredients and local flavors to prepare healthy, mouthwatering meals their residents love. It's one more way they help older adults celebrate life at every age. For more about dining at Prestige Senior Living, visit tasteofprestige.com. Again, that's tasteofprestige.com.
Did you know the City of Pendleton Transportation Program offers two deviated fixed bus routes, demand response services with daily van and taxi tickets, and transportation options for students at Pendleton High School and BMCC? To learn more about these transit programs, schedules, maps, phone apps, and riders' rights and responsibilities, go to the City of Pendleton website and click on the Departments tab to find the link for the transit page. Also, check them out on Facebook at Pendleton Transit.
Are you repainting something, but you can't quite remember what paint color you used? Come see Ginger at Zimmerman & Company True Value for your color matching needs. Here's Terry to tell you more.
Ginger's always glad to help everybody out, so she can color match. She can color match just about anything that you have. She needs a piece about the size of a dime to do the color match properly, but yeah, she should be able to color match all your colors.
Zimmerman & Company True Value, open 7 days a week on Main Street in downtown Pendleton.
Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Julie Koljak and Emily Holden. They are both here representing the Milton Freewater Chamber Downtown Alliance. And I wanted to ask both of you to take a minute and talk about Freewater Square. We hear that name occasionally. This is an area of downtown that has really been transformed into a gathering space for the community. I don't believe that was the case not too long ago. So talk about what has happened to just really get the community involved and transforming that space.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. It was just a parking lot where people would, well, park their vehicles permanently. And so it actually, it was our Dr. Norm Sager, who was of Broadway Family Dental. He bought that property and he was the president of the MFDA, the Milton Freewater Downtown Alliance. And he had this vision of making this the sitting room of the community, because it's the only downtown shopping district. So during COVID, we wrote grants, we got donations, and we were able to build it into a Freewater Square with the cute little buildings on there so people can set up a little business in there as a business incubator. Right now, it's being used for Friday Nights on Main for a bar with our local wines and beers and breweries. And the other one is a little food booth that the Faith Bible Church puts on for us. So, and provided the restroom trailer on there. So there was no bathrooms down on there. So, yep. And it developed into something quite special. And Friday Nights on Main is kind of centered around the Freewater Square, with then extending it down the street. And it's just has become such a great look forward to event.
There's beautiful murals on the walls. They did a mural contest.
We had the mural contest and we have four beautiful murals on there, and they've been extremely popular. People take their picture in front of the murals, and we've added a lot of things on there. Outdoor furniture, we've not started putting it out there permanently, but the plan is to eventually have that as like the area where people can get food from the restaurants on North Main and just sit outside and enjoy themselves. We've got board games we can put on the tables and they can play. We have a foosball table and a ping pong table, which we've not used yet, but we will.
So. Well, congratulations on that. I mean, it just goes to show that when people pull together, they can accomplish great things. Now, business is thriving in Milton Freewater. There's been a lot of growth throughout the city. How is the Milton Freewater Chamber Downtown Alliance supporting local business and supporting those wanting to come to Milton Freewater to do business?
We have a huge part of business advocacy for our town. We have an excellent executive director who is great at the outreach. She connects with new businesses that come in. She connects with old businesses. We have programs where we can help with marketing, and we have workshops and informational meetings. We have our quarterly Chamber Downtown Alliance luncheon. So it's a sharing, networking information, sharing and best practices, learning all the things that you can improve your businesses. We also have the ambassadors that assist and help you with planning events. And the ribbon cuttings, grand openings, or and also any special events you want to do in between. So we help to advertise that. We have a great advertising specialist here in Emily Holden who manages our Facebook page. So we post things on our share and post things on our Facebook page. We have a fantastic website with a great events planning calendar. We share all that information as much as possible. We've got a pretty good scope on that. So what am I forgetting?
I think the hard part to explain is that there really is something special happening in Milton mm-hmm. Freewater right now. There is an energy that you can't describe, you know? And the community of Milton Freewater is ready to see this revitalization happen. We have had like hundreds of people show up to ribbon cuttings, which is unheard of when you look around the region. So our community is ready to support businesses that come. They're ready to be there and help them succeed. And we have a really special group of business owners in Milton Freewater who give back in ways that are shocking. And I don't want to spill their secrets because they try to do it, man, in anonymity.
I'm not in trouble of singling anybody out, but just recently, you know, with the start of the farmers market season, if you will, you know, you have vendors. You have vendors from Milton Freewater coming this way. You have vendors going the other way. When I mean Milton Freewater businesses selling their goods and services in Pendleton as well as in Walla Walla. And I just encourage anybody that goes to any of the farmers markets, you know, get to know the vendors, find out, you know, their secret to success. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't want to say specifically who it is, but I just recently had a wonderful 10-15 minute conversation with a new business that's on Main Street in Milton Freewater about where they came from, mm-hmm. why they chose Milton Freewater, kind of their hopes and dreams and goals. And it was a fascinating conversation, not to mention what they produce and give to the community. And as you said, Emily, it was interesting to say, hey, well, yes, I'm starting and I'm transforming this this building into this business and so on. Then to find out, well, on the side, we're also doing this, this, and this, and giving back to the community, whether it's, you know, like you said, Julie, you know, Freewater Square, or they're giving back to the local schools, or they're giving back to civic organizations, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how in the world do you have time to do all this when you're just starting out a new business? But you're absolutely right, both of you. There is a lot going on in Milton Freewater. I just want to remind, we have about a minute left here. Again, the Friday nights on Main at Freewater Square this Friday. Again, the hours again and location.
6 to 9 up and down North Main. And if you have little kiddos, be there right at 6 because that's when the Rural Fire Department is putting on the water fight for the kids. And maybe bring a change of clothes for those kids too because okay. They're going to get wet.
All right. And then again, if anybody has any other questions about the events that you do have throughout the year, they maybe there's somebody listening this morning that's like, oh, well, I didn't know that the Milton Freewater Chamber Downtown Alliance existed. Who do they contact? How do they find out more?
You can find out more information on our website, mfcda.org, or you can also call our executive director, Mary Elizabeth Garcia, at 541-938-5563.
And that mfcda.org under the Friday Nights on Main tab, sign up for the car show. There's still time. If you do it today, you could probably get signed up as a vendor too for this one. So there's lots of information there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fantastic. And again, we said it repeatedly this morning. I'll say it again. There is a lot happening in Milton Freewater. And if you don't believe me, get out there and see it for yourself. My guests this morning, Julie Koljak and Emily Holden, both with the Milton Freewater Chamber of Downtown Alliance. Thank you both for joining us this morning. We'll be back again tomorrow with another edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour.
Depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.